This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:18 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shauning and Philip. In about half an hour, we're going to be discussing the upcoming meeting between Russian President Vladimir Putin and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping this week. But in the meantime, we're taking a look at global equity markets. So global stock markets, as measured by the MSCI World Index, ended 2021 with gains of 17%. And this is the third consecutive year of double-digit gains.
Of course, this is thanks to the supportive fiscal stimulus from many countries, the rollout of vaccines, and the theme of pandemic recovery. In fact, 2021 was rather dramatic for global equity markets. To recap, the US tech-heavy Nasdaq gained 22%, while China saw a reversal of fortunes with a wipeout of around $1 trillion in its tech and property sectors.
So far, however, 2022 has seen heavy sell-offs, especially in the tech sector, even after reporting better-than-expected earnings until we saw the results today. With the rest of the year remaining volatile, and the question here is, will the tech sector be the biggest casualty of global tightening, and will emerging markets finally play catch up?
So for some analysis on what could be in store for global equity markets, we speak to Sean Markovitz, strategist at Schroders in London. Sean, good morning. Thanks very much for speaking to us today. So global equity markets have been very volatile in January with sharp swings. Is this solely due to the increasingly hawkish stance of the Federal Reserve and rising inflation fears?
I'd say those were indeed the most important catalysts, but you have to also remember that the equity market hasn't had a correction since March of 2020. And since then, valuations have turned pretty expensive, particularly in the US and Europe. So I'd say that this correction was actually long overdue. And in addition, you have to remember 2021 delivered a roughly 19% return for global equity investors. So I imagine many have likely used the year-end opportunity to take profit and de-risk ahead of 2022, as many economists, including ourselves, expect the pace of economic growth and therefore the level of equity returns to moderate. So I think those are some of the additional reasons for the sharp sell-off.
With that, what's the best investment strategy then? Is it time to look at value versus growth finally?
So in an environment of rising interest rates, I'd favor cyclical sectors such as energy, financials, and materials. Those are the ones that tend to do well when rates rise. I'm somewhat less positive on defensive names such as healthcare, utilities, and consumer staples. They tend to do poorly when yields rise. In terms of what that means for investment style, I think cheap value stocks can continue to outperform expensive growth stocks, but so long as yields keep rising and growth remains robust. And these conditions are important for the trade to do well because growth stocks are expected to only generate big profits in the future, not today. So their valuations are highly sensitive to changes in interest rates used to discount those future cash flows, which is why we've seen this big sell-off in the big tech growth names. But at the same time, I think the prospect of higher interest rates has arguably already been priced in. Just in a matter of a few weeks, much of the expected interest rate hikes that we're going to see the Federal Reserve in the U.S. Move forward with have been fully reflected in market prices. So I think that leaves less support for a further re-rating of the value-oriented stocks. So I think in order for momentum to continue, I'd like to see much more evidence that COVID is behind us and that the world is moving towards a more normal economic environment. I think that would be a further catalyst for the support of value stocks.
As the Fed unwinds their accommodative monetary policy, the usual thesis is that the positive carry trade for emerging markets assets narrows. So will we see outflows? However, are emerging market valuations currently compelling?
Well, the EM carry has actually increased in the past 12 months because emerging market central banks have actually been ahead of the Fed in hiking interest rates and also because of a pickup in inflation. So the overall EM real yield that you get over and above developed markets has actually been increasing and has been on the run up. And also EM current accounts swung to positive territory in the pandemic. So that should also reduce their vulnerability to any sharp currency depreciation. And then in terms of the equity valuation space, EM equities are not cheap. They are trading slightly above their historical median. Of course, they're nowhere near as expensive as, say, the US or Europe on an absolute basis, that is. But it's also worth remembering that it's difficult to make a fair comparison within the EM equity space because there are over 27 markets. The composition of the index has changed over time, which makes historical comparisons quite challenging. And the attractiveness of those valuations and whether now is a good entry point is really dependent on the path of earnings. The near-term headwinds are rising inflation, slowing exports, and higher U.S. real yields, which are going to affect funding costs for some of the companies that borrow in dollars. That will weigh on earnings. But I think for the kind of recovery stage, which I expect will materialize in the second half of this year as inflation fades, real rate hikes ease, we could see some improvement in earnings, mainly because China is a big driver of the earnings cycle in the EM equity space. China is at the moment easing some of their policies in the monetary space. And we are starting to see some evidence that credit growth is approaching a trough. It's, I think, too early to call the bottom of the kind of credit growth cycle, but we're closely monitoring that data. So if credit growth starts to bounce back in a consistent manner, then that can materialize into profits strengthening in the second half of this year, because there's a kind of 6 to 8 month lag between when you see turning points in the credit cycle and how that impacts earnings.
Sean, we are seeing selling also being quite pronounced in the technology space. Would you agree that this is due to price evaluations coming home to roost?
I do, but I think it's important to clarify that you have technology companies that have high growth expectations but make zero profits today. And then you have the high growth expectation companies that make a lot of profits today. So the latter includes companies like Microsoft and Apple, whereas the former would include more like companies like Tesla or Zoom that have very expensive valuations, but are expected to generate the bulk of their profits in the very distant future. But it's these kind of low profit businesses that have far greater sensitivity to changes in interest rates and have sold off far more than, you know, the kind of big tech names that actually have really strong balance sheets. And so I think investors should be mindful of that and should be a bit more selective in choosing the kind of tech names to own, because not all of them are going to be as adversely affected by the sudden repricing of interest rate risk.
So, Sean, what sectors do you currently see as having the best relative value and why?
So on our value screens, I really like energy and financials. They are still trading relatively cheap compared to the broader market. I mean, nothing is cheap today in the equity space because there's been so much monetary and fiscal stimulus, but on a relative value basis, they still screen much cheaper than the rest of the equity universe. And that's despite having a strong rally last year. I like energy because I think there's still scope for profits to improve on the back of a strong global recovery. Once COVID is behind us, inflation is also quite elevated. I don't think it's going to come down that quickly, which should be supportive for oil prices, which should then feed into stronger performance for energy stocks. And then on the financial side, we're just kind of following the very basic economic playbook. When interest rates rise, assuming that the yield curve steepens, financials tend to do better because they can earn stronger profits as they lend at the longer end of the interest rate curve and borrow on the short end. I guess the risk to those trades at the moment is that inflation actually comes down much quicker than anticipated, which I think should eat away into the momentum of energy stocks. And then for financials, we're actually seeing quite a flattening of the yield curve, which is actually what you would expect when the central banks are hiking interest rates, because they're hiking the short end of the yield curve. And so while maybe overall rates are rising, the short end is rising faster than the long end, and that can eat into their profit margins. It's maybe why financials haven't done so well recently. But I think as long as the long end of the interest rate curve continues to rise, they could still do well.
Sean, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Sean Markowitz, strategist at Schroders based in London, talking to us about the kinds of strategies and stocks that he sees would be of value to investors in a rising interest rate climate.
Yeah, also inflationary environment. So his two top sector picks are energy. And I think this is going to be driven by demand, right, as the global economy recovers. The other sector he likes is, of course, the financial sector, because as interest rates rise, the yield curve steepens. Banks should definitely make more profit because they can borrow at the lower end of the curve and lend for longer. So I do think we're going to see net interest margins across the financials improve regardless of whatever country you're in. And this has been repeated by many of our guests on World Market Watch, who say exactly the same things.
I find it very interesting that it's less positive on defensives like healthcare, utility and staples, you know. For me, that is a very interesting observation. That's very much linked to economic growth, isn't it?
Well, if you think that the economy is going to recover, then you might actually want that little sweet spot where there's a bit of growth, yeah, but you don't want to go too defensive either.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.